Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. This is reading of God's word. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will pour out your blessings, your grace upon your people who are hearing your word, that you will be with the person who is preaching your word. They will be preached correctly, that your will be revealed. Jesus Christ will be preached, that you will receive all the glory. Be with us, God, and bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today and the next Lord's Day, we will look at these two verses, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. What we have in these two verses is the central theme of the book of Revelation. And what is that? Well, Jesus, his glorious, visible return. Jesus is second coming. That's what this book is all about. Who is coming? Who is coming back? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is coming back. Who is coming back? Our God, Jesus Christ, who loves us, who has released us from our sins by his blood, who has made us to be a kingdom priests to his God and Father. He is coming back. He who has been pierced, the one who bore our sins and died on that cross for our sins in our places, the one who lived the perfect righteous life for us in our places, the one who accomplished our salvation completely and perfectly, our King and our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ, he is coming back. And he is not coming back to be our king. He is already our king. The king is coming back. Verse 7a starts with, behold, he is coming with the cloud. The Bible clearly teaches that our God and Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He is coming back, and when he does come back, that is the end. Then the world that you see now is no more. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Behold, he is coming with the cloud. The background for this verse is Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. I read to you. I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now, Daniel's passage is referring to the time when our Lord completed our salvation by his death and resurrection and ascended into heaven in the clouds to sit on the right hand of God to rule as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Daniel's verse is referring to what our catechism calls our Lord's exaltation, his ascension into glory. But here in the book of Revelation, John applies those verses to Jesus' second coming. We do not see any problem here. Our Lord's exaltation is the beginning of his second coming. Spiritually, he has already come, and he is always coming, and he will come visibly and completely when he comes. Visibly. The second coming is compared in the Bible to the time of harvest. And even in the book of Revelation, if we go to chapter 14, you will see that. It's harvesting the people of God. And I think we need to remember that even when we observe the days of Thanksgiving in November. So many times what I see in the churches is that they observe Thanksgiving Day only in terms of how God blesses us earthly. So we're so thankful because he gave us earthly blessings. But the true harvest is not earthly harvest. And I believe that when God's people observe Thanksgiving, we should have that focus on heavenly harvest. But we have also already saw that Jesus is the first fruit. If Jesus is the first fruit, what does that mean? The first fruit has already been harvested. And if his second coming is in terms of harvest, the harvest has already begun because the first fruit has already been harvested. Second coming has already begun. You need to understand that. Jesus as the first fruit, he is already harvested, and through the church, God is harvesting. Do you see the end has already begun? It's time of harvesting. Even now, the end has already come. But he will completely, perfectly consummate it when he visibly returns. An interesting thing that you might want to note is that that in our verse, verse 7, He is coming, that word coming in Greek is in a present tense, not a future tense. Present tense. He is coming with the clouds. The clouds. That's our focus today. Clouds. Not the clouds that we see in the skies. You know, you go out and look at the sky, and that is not the clouds that we're talking about. Our Daniel passage used the phrase, the clouds of heaven. Many places in the Old Testament, we see the connection between clouds and God's coming to His people. During the wilderness life in the book of Exodus, we see God is with His people in the pillars of clouds. When God came to His people at Mount Sinai, He came in the clouds. When it was time for God to come into the tabernacle and later into the temple, we see the cloud of glory. Exodus chapter 40 verse 34 says, Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. This is when the tabernacle was finished. And what do they see? The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud and the glory. Definitely, we see the connection. It is the glory cloud. The phrase, He is coming with the clouds, then refers to Jesus coming with glory. He is coming with power and glory. Mark chapter 13 verse 26 says, Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Revelation 14:14, Then I looked, and behold a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. A son of man, you see that in that Revelation 14:14 is our glorious Lord. And our glorious Lord is said to be sitting on the cloud. And we do not take this literally. It means that He is sitting as the King in glory. Our verse is focused on the fact that He is coming with glory. He is coming with the clouds. Let us see this in more detail. In Matthew 17, we see our Lord's transfiguration. All of you know that event. Jesus was shining with the glory of heaven. He transfigured. In Matthew 17, verse 5, we read, While He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Again, you see God's coming. And you hear the voice of the Father. But how do we see His coming? Well, the cloud, the glorious, bright cloud. A similar thing happened at our Lord's baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to the 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lightning on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Both events. One, Jesus is getting baptized. The other, he is transfigured. And you hear God the Father's voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Two events are similar with one difference. Before the voice from heaven came, in one event, we see a bright cloud overshadowing, and in the other event, we see the Holy Spirit descending. The cloud of glory is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They are so closely related. Do you remember when the tabernacle is completed? What do we see filling the tabernacle? The cloud of glory. The Spirit of God. The glory of God. Fill the tabernacle. So the cloud of glory, the Spirit of God, and the glory of God, they are all very closely related. When we see one, we also see the others. The glory in which our Lord will come is the glory of the Holy Spirit. The cloud is a picture of glory, and the glory cloud is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord will come with the clouds. He will come with the power and glory. He will come with the Holy Spirit. Peter describes the transfiguration event this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were witnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." So obviously, Peter is speaking of that event, transfiguration event. The event of the Mount of Transfiguration was a preview of his coming in great power and glory. Peter said that event, he said what? "We made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And referring to the Transfiguration event. And this is how we are to understand what our Lord said 6 days before the transfiguration event. Matthew 16 verse 27 and 28. "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to the deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Yes, 6 days later, they saw Jesus. Preview of his glorious coming. He will come with the clouds. Meaning he will come in glory. Meaning that he will come with the Holy Spirit. He will come in the glorious resurrected glory. And here again, we need to understand Jesus in two levels. I keep telling you this. One level is Jesus as the eternal God, And the other level is Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus as the eternal God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is inseparable even though they are distinct persons. And we learn that when we learn the doctrine of Trinity. But also, as the Messiah, Jesus is always with the Holy Spirit. As the Messiah, He always works in and through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is now with His glorious resurrected body. And that glorious resurrected body is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the glory of that resurrected body is the glory of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit. He worked through and by the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected by the Holy Spirit. And He will come back with the Holy Spirit. In this sense too, Jesus as the Messiah and the Holy Spirit are also inseparable. Thus we read these kind of verses, 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45b, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving Spirit. He will come with great power and glory, and He will come with the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about what this means a little bit later. I want to talk about the rest of that verse, 7th verse. Connection with what we're saying here. What does this mean that Jesus is coming back with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at that. Verse 7b says, every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. Again, we have the Old Testament background of this verse, and that is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 through 12. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on Me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for Him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over Him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn. Now Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 29 through 30, but immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the power of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. In Zechariah passage, God is said to give His people the spirit of grace and of supplication. There in Zechariah, the mourning is referring to genuine repentance of the people of God, which refers to the day of the Pentecost in Acts 2. There, that promise had happened. People of God repented of their sins. But here, John applies that background to, again, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus here in chapter 1 verse 7, the mourning is not referring to the genuine repentance. As you and I, we are Calvinists, we believe that there is a fixed number of people of God, and when that number is reached, then our Lord will come. So when Lord is coming, which means the number has reached. And when that number is reached, after that, no one will be repent. No one will repent for salvation, for no one will be saved after His coming. Thus, in our passage, the mourning is referring to the response of the sinners to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see this all over the place in the Old Testament. Same passage can be referred to both the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just as on the day of Pentecost, during the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will be poured out. Do you remember Pentecost? After Jesus was ascended, Jesus promised that He will send the Holy Spirit to His church. And as His church were gathered on that upper room, in Acts chapter 2, you see God pouring out His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just like that, during the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will be poured out again. Jesus will come with the Holy Spirit. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost points to the blessing of our Lord God. But the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the last day is all about the judgment of God. The Holy Spirit will be poured out to the world to judge the world. Matthew chapter 11. Let us go there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist, he says this, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove His sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clear His threshing floor, and He will gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Jesus Christ will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism for a sinner is not a good thing unless you are united to Jesus, His resurrection. I guess they're really cold, you guys are. Maybe you could turn off a couple. Pouring out of the Holy Spirit is not a good thing for a sinner. Only reason that it is good for you and good for me is that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are clothed with His righteousness. You know, we claim that the Holy Spirit is living in us. And it's true that we have Holy Spirit in us. But stop and think about this. If the Holy Spirit, who is holy and righteous, and who is a consuming fire, if he comes upon a sinner, what do you think will happen to a sinner? He will die, burned up. It's judgment upon that sinner. But we know that Holy Spirit has come into us and we are not burned up. This should make you so joyous if you just understand what this means. A sinner receiving the Holy Spirit and not dying. This is what the salvation is all about. We don't die because we are united to Christ. We don't die because His blood has cleansed us. We don't die because His righteousness has been imputed to us. So this baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually a good thing for us because we are united to Christ. But if we are not united to Christ, Holy Spirit's baptism is purely judgment, eternal judgment. So you see an amazing picture in Acts chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit comes upon 120 people, and they do not die. Amazing grace. Yes, our Lord has accomplished our salvation. Otherwise, they would all die right there. But they did not die because they are saved. Oh, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will happen once again. Jesus' second coming. Once again, the Holy Spirit will be poured out to the world. But this time, it's only for the judgment. Do you see the difference? But it's the same Holy Spirit, and it is the same baptism of the Holy Spirit. Clear picture is shown in the book of Exodus. Crossing the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 2 tells us that it is a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For Israelites, it was blessing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was blessing. But for Egyptians, the same baptism was the judgment. Of course, that was the symbol. But the real thing is coming. So Israelites, they are a picture of God's people who are united to Christ. And Egyptians, they are a picture of non-believers. And here comes the same baptism. Both cross the Red Sea. But for one, it is blessing. But for the other, it is the judgment. And this is what we are to see when we see that Jesus is coming with the glory. He's coming to judge the world. The day of the Lord is the day of God's judgment. It is the day of the Holy Spirit. You know, we say that Jesus' second coming is the day of judgment. But day of judgment is always day of the Holy Spirit. It was like this from the very beginning. Do you remember after Adam and Eve sinned, God comes to them? Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 says that it was in the cool of day. Cool. They translated the Ruha into cool. Because Ruha can mean wind. So the person who translated this, it was in the cool of the day. Because wind was blowing. The person's, you know, understanding of that verse who translated it like that. The cool of the day. But if you translate Ruha as the Holy Spirit, just like in chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, then it is not cool of the day, but it is the Holy Spirit day. Then you translate it as a day of the Spirit, day of the Holy Spirit, meaning the day of the judgment. That is why God is coming to judge Adam and Eve. It's not in the cool of the day, but it is the judgment day. It is the day of the Holy Spirit. Ruha. God comes in the day of the Spirit to judge Adam and Eve. The day of the Lord is the day of the Spirit, and it is the day of the judgment, and it is a terrifying thing. It is a terrifying day for sinners who do not accept Christ. Let me read a few verses from our book of Revelation. Let us go there. Revelation 6. Let's try to get a picture of what kind of day this will be. Revelation 6, verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Yes, everything is crumbling. Everything will be destroyed. And these people who do not believe Jesus Christ, they're telling the rocks to fall upon them because they do not want to see who is coming with the wrath. You have there a good picture how terrifying this day is for sinners. Chapter 16. Verse 19. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon, a symbol of the world, the great, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Again, even as God is judging them, they do not understand. We think by then they will repent. No. They blaspheme God. They curse God because they're receiving the judgment from God. They will curse God forever in hell. They will hate him forever in hell. Chapter 20, verse 9. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. We're looking at this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, right? Non-believers, they gather by Satan and they do the final battle. And what happens? Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Well, the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jesus is coming with the clouds. Jesus is coming with the glory. Jesus is coming with the Holy Spirit. It is the day of judgment. And these people mourn, but it is not true repentance. They're actually cursing God. That day, sinners who do not believe in Jesus Christ, they want to die, but they can't. Just how terrifying this day will be. They will want to die, but they just cannot die. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, near is the great day of the Lord. Near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. It is the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day. A day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. And Psalm 97, if you want to turn there, poetically describes the coming of God. Psalm 97. This is how God's coming is described. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Poetically describe the coming of God. Clouds and glory, lightnings, the fire goes out before and destroy everything in his path. His coming with the Holy Spirit. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Yes, Jesus Christ compared this day with the day of Noah. Noah was preaching 120 years that God is coming with his judgment, the rain, the flood, is coming, and these people laughed at him. They did not believe him. And the rain came, the flood came, and it was too late. And that is how it's going to be the judgment day of our Lord. The world is laughing at us. But we've been preaching 2,000 years that this day is coming. And I don't know how long we'll preach from today, but we'll preach until His coming, but the world will not hear. They will laugh at our message. But it is surely coming. Now you understand verse 7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and all of a sudden every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. Yes, it is a terrifying day. He is coming with the Holy Spirit. But for you, it is not like that. See, this is why this is good news. Because your judgment has already happened. Jesus Christ has received your judgment already on that cross. So His coming, His second coming for us, is not the day of the judgment, but it is day of glory. Because the Holy Spirit is the glory. And just like how the Holy Spirit made Jesus' body glorious, the Holy Spirit, when it is come with our Lord that day, He will make our body glorious. So that we may live with God forever and ever. If you are there at 1 Thessalonians, let's go down to verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath. See, for Christians, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Oh yes, God's will on that day is to destroy the world and punish the sinners. But His will for you is to consummate the perfect salvation so that you may live with Him forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, this phrase, that they will come like a thief, there is no relationship to you. Because that day will not come like a thief to you. Verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day will overtake you like a thief. Meaning that it will not do that. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Why will that day will not come like a thief? Because you wait for it. When you wait for someone, whenever that person is coming, he's not coming like a thief. You'll be so glad he's coming. Because you wait and wait. This is how you live your life, waiting for His coming. Of course it will not come like a thief. Because you've been wanting that day to come ever since you understood the gospel. That is the most glorious day for us. Everybody who are laughing at our message, you and your message, more importantly, Jesus Christ will be completely vindicated that day. For us it is the most glorious day. For us it is the most joyous day. Why is that? Because our Lord Jesus is coming back. And we are able to receive Him because of what He has done for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Because we eagerly wait for Him. That is why you and I, we join John who wrote this book of Revelation. We join him in saying, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. This is what our religion is all about, brothers and sisters. It is my deepest desire that you will not waste your life. If you do not live your life in terms of eagerly waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ, you are wasting your life. You know, those of you who have someone that you love, you probably understand this. Let's say you have married someone in Korea or something. And this person that you love so much so that you are married to this person, but he cannot or she cannot come right away because of visa. But that person has to come like 3 weeks later or 3 months later. If you are that kind of that person who's going to come, and understand that someone that you love in the United States, in that waiting time, in that 3 months, or 3 weeks that you have to wait, that you don't even care about that person's coming. That you don't even wait. That you don't even miss that person. I don't think you will be that happy. Do you love Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters? Do you really love Him? Or is it all just lip service? I think this question you need to ask yourself. This is what our religion is all about. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I don't know how. See, I don't have that ability to convince you. But as a pastor, if I see your life, not no connection to Jesus Christ and your love for Him, that's when I worry. And that's when I pray. It's not when you don't get a job. It's not when you are physically sick. I do that too, but that's all secondary, brothers and sisters. I beg you, love who is coming. Love Him. You will not regret it. Actually, you will rejoice every single moment of your life and your eternal life. He is coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that Your Son is coming back. And Your Son is coming with the clouds, with the glory, with the Holy Spirit. Oh Father, we thank You that that day will not be the day of judgment, but day of joyous occasion. Day of seeing our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Oh Father, we join John in praying, Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Amen.